Welcome to Remember Me by Intervivos, the show about living life to its fullest, leaving a legacy, and deciding how you will be remembered. And now, your humble team of expert planners, taking the legal world by storm.
Hey, well, welcome to Remember Me, the show where we talk about leaving a legacy and how you want to be remembered. I'm Mike Black, your co-host today. Glenn Wagstaff is away on business again this week, and we have a special treat. We're joined again by Garrett Smith, who will be our guest host today. Garrett, how you doing?
Doing great, Mike. Thanks for letting me join again. And, you know, we had a wide range of things that we could talk about, but one of the things that we wanted to kick off the show was introducing this concept of the sandwich generation, which some people are probably aware of, but most probably don't know, because I wasn't even aware of it until it was brought up in this idea of estate planning and taking care of the needs of both those that are aging and those that are still young. And so... Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I'd never heard the term sandwich generation, but I've seen people like that in, you know, my generation. They're taking care of their parents as well as taking care of their kids. And, you know, I'd never heard it that way, but it makes perfect sense. You're kind of sandwiched in between two generations.
Right. And generally, when I think of a sandwich, I'm thinking that the inside is the best part. But when it comes to the sandwich generation, you'd prefer to be on the outside, actually, because those on the inside are actually the ones that are bearing all the stress, you know, the stress of taking care of an aging parent while also raising their own children. And because, you know, there tends to be maybe delays in having children of their own. These are people aged 40 to 70 that are raising a child and caring for a parent. And the Pew Research Center actually did a study that showed that just over one out of every eight Americans aged 40 to 70 is doing that, raising a child and caring for a parent.
You know, that's interesting you say age 40 to 70, because at 70, you'd think the kids would be out of the house. But I know people that are raising their grandkids as their own children now, and they're taking care of their parents.
Right. And then their kid loses a job and moves back home because it's the easy thing to do, right?
Oh, yeah. I've seen that happen a lot, too.
And so, you know, when you're taking, as a parent myself, and seeing how much it takes to support my own children, it is somewhat scary to imagine having to simultaneously take care of aging parents. And a lot of people find themselves in that statistic. You know, we just said over 12.5% of Americans find themselves caught between, you know, these two responsibilities. And a lot of the stress goes up, the debt goes up, and planning for retirement and who will take care if something happens becomes a bigger issue and maybe even more of a burden that people just don't want to talk about.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because as the stress levels go up, things like that go up, your responsibility goes up. And also, it seems like some of your freedoms tend to go down as well, because, you know, you're being pulled both ways. You've got to take care of your kids, want to make sure they're taken care of and they've got the right things in place for their education, their social well-being, and also for your parents. You know, taking care of them, their needs, and they can be a little bit more demanding sometimes, I think, because, you know, they raised you.
Right. Now the responsibilities have shifted, but they still have, you know, that background that it's hard to teach an old dog a new trick type thing, right? They're set in their ways. And at that point, maybe they want something done a certain way that doesn't mesh with your lifestyle and how you're trying to raise your kids. And so it becomes a balancing act where, if you've ever seen one of these people try and spin all the plates on top of the sticks and keep them all going at the same time, it takes a lot of effort in balancing to make sure one of those plates doesn't fall.
I know. I use that analogy a few times too. And when I've done presentations and things, because it is a balancing act, and you can't let those, you know, if it starts to wobble, you've got to go over there and start wobble, you know, spinning the wheel, spinning that stick again to make sure things don't fall. And if it falls, it can be catastrophic.
Right. And what InterVivos does, and you know, one of our taglines is you can plan for that. And so rather than just letting that plate fall and saying, oh no, we don't have something prepared, you can put a plan in place. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I didn't expect that to happen. Well, we should expect that things aren't going to go the way we want. You know, we should expect that at some point in our lives, our refrigerator is going to go out. I use that example because I just got a new one today and we threw away, you know, tons of frozen stuff. I'm like, man, that was a lot of money that was just wasted. But, you know, having an emergency fund, having a written plan in place, something that can damage control, that can act as damage control, because we can't avoid everything that's going to happen in our lives. We can't avoid every negative event, but we can plan for it.
Well, that's true. You know, it's, they always say it's not if, it's when things happen. And regardless of what you plan for, things, you, there will be some unexpected things come up, and you can plan for those as much as possible. And you have to kind of be a little bit flexible with that too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, flexibility is a great way to look at estate planning. Some people think of it as a boilerplate, right? We're just going to fill in the blanks. But every family is so different. You have to customize it. You can't take a one-size-fits-all approach when it comes to planning the future. And I just had, you know, been thinking of some common questions that are universal regardless of the family. Right? Who will take care of my minor children if I pass away? Who will take care of my aging parents if I'm no longer able to? How can I financially support my parents as their health continues to decline? You know, who will take care of my financial obligations if I'm gone? How can I reduce estate taxes? How can I maintain privacy for my family and assets? The list goes on and on, but these are all universal questions that can apply in any given situation, but the remedy may be a little bit different. Because some people may have a great benefit of long-term care, and so they're not going to have to default to Medicaid or self-pay. You know, most people can't self-pay for aging because the medical industry is so huge and costs are rising and premiums are almost too much to pay for anymore that a lot of people are defaulting to the government plan. And once again, that just puts a burden on the rest of America as the taxpayers.
Yeah, I've heard that, you know, that there's a big push to go to a socialized medicine and a Medicare, you know, kind of a, like a Medicare for everybody. And that can be kind of scary because, you know, like you said, the burden does fall on to the rest of the taxpaying Americans. It's not a free for all. It's not a freebie. Somebody has to pay for that.
Absolutely. And in fact, the U.S. Census Bureau statistics projected that the number of Americans 65 or older will double by 2030. And that will be over 70 million. And so if we're looking at that as a percentage of the taxpayer, we, you know, the socialized medicine, is that something that's doable? And as we look at that, and we just look at the costs going up and, you know, maybe wages going down or the sandwich generation being squeezed a little bit more and more to the point where they're, you know, running out of the financial ability to take care of both sides.
Yeah, it's amazing because, you know, you see both sides. And, you know, I'm in that situation right now where my parents are getting older and they're, you know, my dad is, he's lost a lot of his mobility. So he's had to, you know, my mom's had to take care of him a little bit. So, and then fortunately I have a brother that's close enough there that he, two of them there that actually can step in and look after him and, you know, make sure things are taken care of. But they've got things set up pretty well to where they, you know, they've got their needs taken care of for the most part. So,
yeah, absolutely. And the thing that a lot of people don't realize is taking care of an aging family member takes a toll. You know, I always find it interesting as I'm speaking with my clients and I say, well, what's your long-term care plan? And the husband will usually point at his wife and say, oh, it's her. And, you know, it's you know, you can say, oh, we kind of chuckle at it. But I say, if you take it to that effect, or, you know, you take it to that step, and that's what your plan is, you're going to shorten your wife's life expectancy pretty substantially. So, you know, I know that we're coming up to a break, and we'll get into some more stories and examples after the break of how you can actually plan for this and prepare for it. But keeping these questions in mind is a great place to start, just so that you're on the path towards planning rather than letting life happen to you.
Well, excellent. And we'll continue this when we come back after the break. Well, welcome back, everybody. Before the break, you know, Garrett was telling us a lot of good stories, and he said, we've got some stories to hear, so I'm excited to hear these stories that he's got. And, but, you know, some of the questions we had coming up, you know, the sandwich generation is, you know, what kind of issues do we look at in the as being part of the sandwich generation? And, you know, maybe, Garrett, you can kind of steer us in the right direction and see what we can kind of prepare for.
Absolutely. I was thinking of one of my clients who is actually involved in the financial world and is involved in setting up, you know, long-term care and things of that nature. But even when it came to his parents, he was a little unprepared when he actually had to step in and start taking care of them. Mm. And he had quite a big family. I always joke that, you know, the sandwich generation is probably more common in Utah than in New York, where people have, you know, dogs instead of kids over in New York, and you know, they're not as much taking care of raising kids. But, you know, he has a big family and some are still in high school, but his parents were aging as well. And when I was talking to him, I was using some outdated data. It was about 2 years old. And I said, yeah, the average long-term care per year in America or in Utah is 55,000. And he said for him, when he put his dad in, it was 70,000. And he said, we didn't go to, you know, we weren't going to the Marriott, you know, long-term care place. We just got an average one, and it was 70,000 a year to take care of an aging parent. So for someone who is taking care of raising their kids, taking care of their own expenses, trying to save up for their retirement, and then gets hit with a $70,000 a year bill, and they haven't made a financial plan or done something through documents that can shelter assets and provide other benefits that are available, then that becomes a big burden that they have to bear. And I wanted to point out that according to the Morningstar report, they released it just a few months ago, and it was entitled 75 Must Know Statistics About Long-Term Care. They said that 52% of people turning age 65 will need some type of long-term care in their lifetime. In Utah, they said that the average of those who reach 65 and they need long-term care, they'll need it for 2 to 5 years.
Just 2 to 5 years?
Yeah, and that's the average in Utah. Okay. And, you know, but some people have longevity. I just met with a client yesterday, and I asked him, I said, well, do you have longevity in your family? He's like, yeah, I'm going to live to my mid-90s, dang it. And I actually edited that for our listeners. But he said, yeah, my mom lived to 100, and I'm going to be around for a really long time. And so if you're just looking at, you know, the 2 years, that's 140,000 on the low end, and that's for one parent. Imagine if you're taking care of two parents, then it doubles. And then if you go up to the 5 year mark, you're paying, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars if you don't have a plan in place that can financially take care of them and also legally take care of them. And so you're not ending up, you know, going through probate or, you know, fighting, family feuding over money and where it should go.
Right. You know, that's more than most people make every year, 70,000. And that's just for one parent.
Yeah, that's true. And this isn't tax free, right? Like we still have to pay taxes on what comes in and then have 70,000 above and beyond that to take care of it. And so what are some solutions? How can the sandwich generation avoid this? Well, if you're looking at long-term care, you really have three options. You can self-pay, which we talked about what that looks like. You can get long-term care insurance, which if you don't get it when you're young, you're going to pay outrageous premiums to cover it later in life. And then the third option is defaulting to Medicaid or the government plan. And, you know, the financial instruments that can be put in place, that's great. Sometimes I've met with people who want to do a Medicaid trust just to protect some of their sentimental assets that they don't want to spend down so that they're able to, you know, protect that, still qualify for Medicaid, but have something to pass on to their kids as well. You know, if we're looking at gun collections or old pianos or, you know, antique books or anything like that, the government, you know, it may be invaluable to the owner, but the government may just put a price tag on it and make you spend it down. And so, you know, there are some legal things that can be done, but it's also important to involve a financial planner at an earlier stage so that you're not caught at the end of the day with no options or few options.
Yeah. And aren't there some limits on Medicaid and Medicare and those kinds of things?
Yes, there are. So there is a 5-year look back, they call it. And so, for example, I had a client whose children were renting her home and with the intent to buy. And she said, well, I may need to apply for Medicaid, and there's a Medicaid payback provision. You know, if I apply for Medicaid and they can take the equity in the house, the children didn't have the cash or the ability to get a mortgage to buy it out from under her. And so they were looking at losing all of the equity that they, you know, were building in the home just with the agreement that they had with their parents. And so what we did is we put the home into a Medicaid trust, and we still had a purchase agreement for the home so that the children could continue to purchase it from their parents without the government coming to back later to get their portion and take that Medicaid payback from the equity that they had put in over the years. So there's ways that you can protect the asset, but there is a 5-year look back, and you don't want to, you know, be subject to that where you did it wrong. You set up the trust. You didn't put anything into it till later though, because the IRS, they want to get paid. You know, Medicaid wants to get paid. Everyone, the government always wants to get paid, and they can reverse a gift. Even if you gifted it within 4 years, they can reverse that and make you pay it back. So you definitely don't want to be caught in that position, but it does make sense because we don't want to abuse the taxpayer by having someone, you know, have $1 million, give it away to their kids one day, and then the next day apply for Medicaid. So there are some protections that are in there, and you just have to plan in advance, because crisis planning always ends up with a less than optimal plan.
Yeah, if you crisis, if you plan well, yeah, crisis planning also, yeah, it's usually a disaster that you end up with.
Right. You know, so we've been talking about the long-term care on the aging side. I know we're coming short on time, but I did want to just put a plug in for the importance of protecting minor children as well. That's a situation where I'm in. I've got 3 kids under 6, and I don't want the division and a judge deciding where my kids should be raised and placed. And so what we can do from the legal standpoint is have an estate plan where you are naming guardians for your minor children so that they're not just being placed. You know, even where there are willing parents or siblings or other family members that would take the children, the division has to do what's in the best interest of the child, which sometimes in their minds is opposed to what we may think, and they may remove the child or take them into their custody while they're trying to decide who would be a fit parent. Well, even if that was a short-term fix, that's going to be a traumatic experience for the child, especially after losing their parents. And so that's one of the things that I'm passionate about, is finding, you know, those families that have younger children where they can establish guardians for them.
Yeah, now, that's very important, because you do want to know, you want to have trust in who those, you know, who's taking care of your kids, that they have good values and things like that. And same thing with your parents. You know, absolutely. You want to make sure your values are transferred, as, and you know, you don't want somebody that you can't trust. You don't want somebody just deciding willy-nilly who's going to take care of those things for you.
Absolutely. And like we said earlier, every family is different. Every plan is different. And for our listeners who are interested in getting started in, you know, maybe alleviating some of the burden of the sandwich generation, you can feel free to visit our website. It's www.intervivosplan.com. That's intervivosplan.com. You can reach out to one of our attorneys. We have 75 attorneys. We're scattered throughout 28 states and 10 countries. So we have quite the network of professionals that are able to help. I just opened a firm called Integra Law on the business side, and you can reach us at www.integralaw.net, integralaw.net.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. And Garrett, you've been wonderful to be with, and a great host. So we'll see you next week.